And appreciate Brother Hunter. Met him years ago. I gave you kind of a testimony this morning. Brother Hunter, you come on and show his video and then preach to us tonight.
Pastor, thank you. Well, enough about the Yankees. I'm Brother Christopher McClure Hunter, born Riverdale, Georgia. They know me as a redneck Filipino. It's a blessing to be with you this afternoon. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you very, very much for supporting us. I've seen y'all been doing a lot of working, praying, fasting, giving, and the Lord has really blessed your work here. And the Lord is also blessed in the Philippines. I'd like to show you what the Lord has been doing. Let's see. Let me go back real quick. This is my family. This is my wife. I'll ask my wife to stand. The most beautiful woman in all the world. She's right there. And then Victoria, and then Christine, Charity, and Cherish. Cherish, this is her first time, my youngest one. This is her first time in the United States from the Philippines. Thank you for being here. My pastor, sending church, Pastor Willie Dell, Sister Amy Dell, in Mira Mesa Bible Baptist Church in California. My assistant pastor there in the Philippines, who's taking care of the work right now in our absence on furlough. And it's our congregation there in the Philippines, our choir. This is the inside of our auditorium. This is the school that we didn't have when we were first here. We only had 14 attendants. Now we have 195 students by the grace of God. That's because of your praying and support. It's all possible because of what you all have done praying. Graduation for our young ones, and then for the high school. This is our soul-winning team, Baptist Bikers. No Harley Davidsons, but we're working up there. And we were able to go to all the public schools, and over 14,000 were able to hear a clear presentation of the Word of God. Amen. We also went to our public municipality of Don Carlos, Bukidnon. That right here, here's the mayor and the vice mayor and all of their top officials. We also have a feeding ministry, SSS, Soup, Slippers, and Salvation. This is a bus that Pastor Dale Webster gave to us 10 years ago, and we used that, by the grace of God, to be able to go out and tell children about Jesus Christ. They line up, we invite all the children. We suppose that these are going to be public enemy number one, so one day, so we got to plant the Word of God in their heart while they're young. And we give them slippers, and they never forget us. They walk by, Pastor, hey! And we give them school supplies, and we had 167 children that day, and that's just a blessing. We love children. And a special blessing the Lord's given from Camp Crami, the police national headquarters in Camp Crami in Luzon. They gave me my own badge, Hunter's Christopher McClure. And so I'm able to walk side by side and help the police officers. And I don't have my own, I don't have an M16 rifle, but I have a John 3:16, and I have that. But please pray for us. There's a lot of terrorists near our place, and this is very close to our place, and they don't like the government, they'll just burn things and just destroy things. And please, just pray for our family, for our protection. This is one of the works that we have now. He's in Romagook, Bukidnon, the Torres family, graduate from our Bible college. We also have another graduate from our Bible college in Davao City, and in Cebu City, the graduate, the Panglao family. They are in the middle portion of the Philippines, in Cebu. I'm just going through real quick, just so you can see. And then our newest addition is the Latawan family. They are a tribal outreach to the Talaandig tribes. So I teach them from the King James into the Cebuano, into their own language, Talaandig, and then they go and they teach their own people. Amen. And so we are here, and they are there. And that's what we have in the span of 18 years, by the grace of God. Amen. I've been in the Philippines now for 21 years. I don't look like I do, but I've been there for 21 years, and as a missionary, 18 years. And you all have been supporting us for 10 years. We're thankful for that. And we have more graduates from our Bible college who are willing to go. I told them, when you get married, you can go. But if not, you're not married yet, don't go. And this is a presentation of our... there's no sound, but that's okay if not. This is the front of our church, Don Carlos Bukidnon. The Philippines has a population of over 100 million Filipinos. And this is our typical soul winning and visitation day. We go out into the highways and the hedges, and we compel them to come in. And in our place of Don Carlos, we have 70,000 in our place. So we go everywhere. Anywhere there's people, we see a hut, we see houses, mansions, wherever we see people, that there's a source of life, we go and tell people about Jesus Christ. We go to the poorest of the poor, we go to the richest of the rich. There's no stone left unturned. And we just want to let everyone know that Jesus is the only way, and His precious blood alone, only. Only. There's no other way. Only through Jesus Christ. And that's why we're so thankful for your prayers. It's because of your prayers and the prayers of so many churches that have been praying for us, supporting us, that's how we're able to do what we do. It's a hard work. It's a very difficult work, but it's a very enjoyable work. Amen. Telling the children, telling police officers, wherever we go, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, it's just a blessing. Wherever people are. I was baptizing there, and the people were wondering. They were looking at me with my long sleeve necktie walking into the water. What are they doing? I started to baptize. And so that's a blessing. It's just a blessing. Not sprinkling, not pouring. It's deep water, brother. Deep water. It's cold water, but not as cold as the States. This man is from Oregon. And he came all the way to the Philippines, and he heard the word of God, and he received Jesus Christ, and he said, What doth hinder me to be baptized? And what a blessing that is. And we just let the people know that we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not ashamed. Not afraid to tell others about Jesus Christ. These are just little onlookers here. It's just a blessing. And to hear them pray for the first time, that when you teach them, and hey, I don't know how to pray, we teach them how, and to hear that honest prayer up to the Lord, that's it's worth it all. It's worth it all. I just came to let you know that I love the ministry. I love the ministry. These are some of our Bible college graduates. We thank God for them. We believe in strong discipleship, strong one-on-one. Every day, my wife and I, my wife, she takes care of a married lady. I take care of a married man on Monday, then Tuesday, Wednesday, someone different. 1 hour, 1 week, for 1 year. Once. The Philippine National Police Headquarters. There's me right there. I got my own uniform, badge, no gun. But I'm working on that one. Get to work with the criminology students in our town. We invite them to church. And even the police officers, they came, locked and load, ready to go to church, right? I said, just don't use it as you need it, use it. But we want to touch lives. This is a chief of police, Dong Yapon. And because of the iron fist of our newly elected president, Duterte, kind of foul mouth, but he's getting the job done. And a lot of drug dealers and drug pushers are surrendering. In our town alone, 1,700 surrendered, and they want to have rehabilitation. And the RU Recovery is doing a wonderful job in the Philippines. The GIBF gave us some books. We're to build a library, first library in our town. And so that's a blessing. We just had our youth camp in December. By the grace of God, we had over 400 delegates. And it was 4 days of preaching and singing, just preach the word of God, and we had 75 delegates surrender to Bible College. Amen. By the grace of God. That whole stage was just filled with surrenderees, surrendered to the Lord. Amen. This is all possible because you're holding the rope for us. It's not done by any one man. But we believe in a good Christian education. Our school is used as a tool to get into the individual homes of every family, very hardcore Catholic or different cults, we're able to get in their homes through the children. This is our construction. And we need your prayer for the construction needs. And God has always provided. I believe He will continue to provide. Everything is just done by hand. We cut some of the barrels in half and just use that to fill that with cement. And then lift it up upstairs. And so A lot of hard work, but we know God provides. In His time, God provides. And we need some more schoolrooms for this coming June 2017. We have 195, and if we have even just 20 more students, it's gonna overflow. So we need more vessels, empty vessels, by the grace of God. And this is what a finished room looks like. Air-conditioned rooms, tiles, everything. And it's the cheapest in town. It's affordable for the low-income families. It's a great help. And we were able to send out 4 families from our church, like I said earlier. Ordination service, we sent them out. And they're doing a wonderful job. And I have no fear that I have left, by the grace of God, good men and women while we are on furlough. I didn't have to call someone, brother, can you take care of our work while we're in the States? No, we have good men. That was during my birthday. It was just. And so once again, thank you so much for praying for our family. We're very thankful. And your reward is in heaven. Amen. Your reward is in heaven. Amen. Thank you so very much. Amen. Time to preach? Yep. Time to preach. And I have everything on the PowerPoint just so that I can get everything, a lot of information in a small amount of time. So I pray this will be a blessing. Could you open that? Okay. While you're waiting for that, please open your Bibles. Stand with me if you can, if you will. In Luke chapter 14. And in verse number 16 and 17. Oh, is there a clock here? Oh, right there. Praise the Lord. Good. Okay, Luke chapter 14, verse 16, 17. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Let's read together. Ready now? Begin. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this church. Thank you for Pastor Crawford, Lord, his family. Thank you for these precious members. Thank you, Lord God, for the hard-earned dollars that they've been giving, the sacrifice through prayer and fasting. And Lord, just holding the rope for us, we're very, very thankful. You know our hearts, Lord God. And you know as a missionary family, Lord God, we're not here just for money. We're not going from church to church begging for money. But Lord, we want to come and say thank you. And with a heartfelt thank you, Lord God, in this prayer, I pray that you'll bless this church more than they have given, more than they have prayed, more than they have sacrificed. This is my prayer now. Please touch your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you don't mind, Pastor, could I come down? Okay. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38. I'm going to stand over here to this side just so I can get closer. Hello. Okay. Pray for laborers. Pray for laborers. If there's something that you want to pray for that you know God will answer, it is praying for more laborers. The Bible says, everyone read together, ready, go. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Point number one, the searching of God. God is searching right now in every Baptist church, in every community, in every town, every home. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it. That I should not destroy it. What does it say next? But I found none. I found none. How sad. Therefore, because God found none, I poured out my indignation. I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their head, saith the Lord God. If there's no one to go, if there's no one to preach, then people just go on about their everyday lives, continually doing the wicked things that they do. And that's why God is searching for a man. The power of one. The power of one. I thank God for a man named Bob Hughes. Went to the Philippines. And because he went to the Philippines, he started to work. Because he started to work, there's a Bible college. Because there's a Bible college, I went to that Bible college. I met my wife. But by the grace of God, now I have a family. Now I'm in the mission field because of a man who was sent from the United States. God chose him. God sought after him. And by the grace of God, now there's a legacy. Now there's a work. The power of one.
Amen.
You're sitting there, you're saying, well, I don't know if God can use me. God can use you. Amen. God can use you. D.L. Moody said, I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And that which I can do, by the grace of God, I will do.
Amen.
Luke 13:6-9. Something else that God is looking for, not only a man. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard and came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Again, God's searching for a man, found none. God's searching for fruit. And by the grace of God, it's good to see that your church is fruitful. You can say amen. That's okay.
Amen.
That's a blessing that you have a fruitful church. And we've been in a lot of churches. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. In the Philippines, when I look for a mango tree, there's only one thing I'm looking for on the mango tree. Mangoes. not roots, not leaves, not the shade, not anything else. I'm looking for the sweet, ripe fruit, mango. If you've never tried a Filipino mango, you never tried a mango. Why cumber it to the ground? Now, if you haven't been soul winning in this soul winning church for 3 years or more, then you got to get busy this 2017, because God says, cut it down. Cut it down. And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also. In other words, Lord, give me a chance. If you haven't been soul winning, you haven't been winning souls, you haven't been passing out gospel tracts, you haven't been bearing fruit, you got to get it done. Why? Because you have some time. You still have a chance. While you're still alive, you still have a chance. Till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. Well. Now watch. If not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. Cut it down. Number two, the supper of God. The supper of God. Luke chapter 14, verse 16 to 24. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper. Now, ladies, you know all the work that goes in not to just a supper, but a great supper. All the chopping and the frying and the preparation. And it's hard work, but in your eye, there's that gleam in your eye. I see it in my wife's eye. I see it in my mother's eye. You see it in your auntie, your grandmother's eye, that gleam of, they're going to like my spaghetti. They're going to like my soup, right? And so he made a great supper and made many. What a wonderful meal that the Lord has made.
Amen.
That God has made for us. The King James Version of the Bible, that all of us can eat and taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. It's the wonderful, delicious smorgasbord. Eat all you can, buffet of the Word of God that we get to eat every single day of our life. Ronald Reagan said, of the many influences that have shaped the United States of America into a distinctive nation and people, none may be said to be more fundamental and enduring than the Bible.
Amen.
The Bible. The Bible is our primary textbook. I tell our young people, before you go to any college and start learning science and math, start learning first. Go to Bible college first.
Amen.
Matthew 6:33. And then be a doctor. And then be a lawyer. And then study all the other books of this world. First things first. Learn the Bible. Bibles aren't allowed in schools anymore, but are encouraged in prisons. If kids were allowed to read it at school, they may not end up in prison.
Amen. Amen.
I love to see children with Bibles. I love it when parents come to me, Pastor, what did you do to my daughter and my son? And what happened? They can memorize so many verses and their lives have changed. Praise the Lord. It's the Word of God. God changes lives. A thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education. It's the Word of God. But how sad, he came into his own, the Jews, and his own received him not. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. That gleam again in his eye. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. This is the most dangerous word in the Bible for a Christian. The most dangerous word. And we have three excuses. And we have to see this afternoon whether or not these are good excuses. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Now, what time do y'all have dinner in Texas? It's not in the morning, right? Not in the noon time. It's usually in the Philippines. My father and mother-in-law by trade are farmers. And I see them get up really early in the morning before the sun comes up. They work hard throughout the day plowing. And then in the evening, you hear the dinner bell ring, takes off his dirty clothes and gets ready for supper.
Amen.
Gets ready for supper. Now, he says, I needs go and see it. Now, they didn't have electricity in those days. How is he going to see it at supper time? I think that's not a good excuse. He says, I pray thee, have me excused. You know, when people make excuses, there's a little something itchy right here at the back of their head, or maybe something on their face, kind of like that. You know, people make excuses. You know, just cover your face kind of deal. But everyone read, ready, go. Real estate is not an excuse. In the light of eternity, when we stand before God one day, the reason why we're not able to study the Bible and win souls is because I bought a piece of property and I need to go see it. That's not a good excuse. That's a really bad excuse. If you don't have time to pray and read the scriptures, you are busier than God ever intended you to be.
Amen.
We don't have much time. Number two excuse. Maybe this will be a better excuse. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove or train them. I pray thee, have me excuse. Again, my father and mother-in-law by trade, I've never seen them training the animals, the carabao or the cows or in the evening. I've never seen that. I would say to this man, sir, why not have a wonderful supper tonight and then tomorrow you can go and see your property and you can go and train your animals. Don't make the excuses. That's a bad excuse. Bad excuse. This is a yoke. And what does too busy mean? Everyone read, go. Totally overoccupied, being under Satan's yoke. That's what too busy means. And I think there are too many Christians that are too busy. Too busy. Everyone read, ready, go. Your job is not an excuse. Our job is not an excuse. Our things that we do in this world, that's not a good excuse. If it stops you from getting closer to God, it needs to go. It needs to go. The Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. Let's look at this one. Now, out of the three, this is the hardest one, I think. And another said, you can see him kind of scratching his head, kind of put his hand in his face. Kind of, he says, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. The first one said, I pray thee, have me excused. I pray thee, have me excused. He just says, I can't come. He's having a hard time. And this one, he has an excuse, and he has a biblical verse to back up his excuse. He says, in Deuteronomy 24, verse 5, you know why I can't come? He says, I can't come because when a man hath taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war. He shall not, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year and shall cheer up his wife, which he hath taken. Now, if I were the servant and God asked me to invite this guy and he said, well, I can't come because, I say, wait a second, war? I didn't ask you to go to war. Business? No business. I'm not asking you for war business. Supper! I'm asking you to come to a wonderful meal. Tonight, why don't you bring your lovely wife and both of you come to a wonderful... And then tomorrow you have all the rest of the year to cheer up your wife. Everyone read, go! Family is not an excuse. I couldn't go to church because of my husband. I couldn't go to church because of my wife. I couldn't go to church because of my children. I couldn't go to church... Fill in the blank. And there's so many excuses, but I tell you, by the grace of God, especially the young men, young ladies, when you get married, don't make excuses. Put God first in your marriage. If it's important to you, you'll find a way. If not, you'll find an excuse. You can make excuses or you can make progress. It's your choice.
Amen.
Point number three, the sufferings of God. Thank God that we're not God.
Yeah.
We're not very patient, are we? We wouldn't make very good gods. God is a long-suffering God. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Watch. Then the master of the house being angry. You mean you don't? God doesn't understand when I make excuses? No, he doesn't. He's angry. The Bible says he's angry. And he says to the servant, go out quickly. Who's going to eat my soup? Who's going to eat my spaghetti? I made this food for them. The food is going to go to waste. How dare they not come? Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, maimed and halt and blind. This is a general list of people who usually don't make excuses. Get one of those slippers and the soup that we gave in the Philippines. Give it to a rich man. I don't need your soup. But give it to a starving child.
Yeah.
More. Can I have more? You have more slippers? Give me more slippers. Can I have another pair? And they make no excuses. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe in his name. You are here this afternoon because you and I, by the grace of God, we did not reject the food that God made for us. And I think you're full. And I think you're satisfied. And it's a blessing to be able to go through the pages of God's word and dive into the riches of his wonderful word. The poverty of the soul. People in the Philippines have no Bible. I encourage you, if you have 10 Bibles, give us one. I'll find a good home for it in the Philippines. There's so many people without a Bible. So many homes without Jesus Christ, the servant of God, the servant of God. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded. And yet, there is room. I love this auditorium. I love seeing Christians in this place. But every church I've been in, it doesn't matter how big the church is, there's always an empty seat.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you have a congregation of 50,000, 100,000, a million members in your church, there will always be room. There will always be room for one more. Nobody is impressed with how good your excuses are. Verse 23, the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the hedges. Did you go there? The highways and hedges and compel them. Compel them. I am from Heritage Baptist Church. I don't know if you want to come to church come Sunday. Well, yeah, I didn't think so. Okay, bye. Not very compelling. Compel them to come in. Like you would invite them to a basketball, football game. And compel them to come in. Now watch that my house may be filled. God didn't put a number. He just says, whatever size vessel you have, fill it.
Amen.
Fill it. You have a building that fits 200? Put 200. Fill it over. If you have a building that has seats 20, fill it. Fill it. In the Philippines, we went to the highways and hedges. We go where no man has ever gone before. We go to those places where, and this is the Manantau family. Brother Neil, Sister Olivia, and Brother Alexis. And this man was he was bitter toward the work and just didn't want to have anything to do with the church. Just really introvert, didn't want to say much. And we decided that we want to give scholarship to his son. And one of the families here in the United States said, Pastor, we'll give $50 a month so that this boy can go to school for free. And this is how they wash their clothes. He gets his water from the tabay. Well, yeah. And my mind is in Bisaya. So he gets his water. He takes care of their cow. He does all the work around the house, their high-tech kitchen. I mean, he just does all that work. And I was just so... So seeing him do all this work and with a big smile on his face. He's like, Mom's telling me to do the work. Mom told me to do the dishes. Mom told me to sweep the floor. Mom, man. No, he was smiling. Smiling little boy. I said, I want to help this little boy. And you know what, by the grace of God, did you know that Brother Neil Nanta, he received Jesus Christ?
Amen.
His heart was stirred because we loved him through his child. And now his whole family's in church, and his two daughters graduate from our Bible college, and now he's got a couple more years before he graduates from our academy.
Amen.
Compel them. God bless you, I'm praying for you, and then we don't pray. God bless you, I'll help you, and then we don't help. But we got to help them. We got to really help them. We got to really pray for them. An eternal investment and rewards. Dale Moody said, if I could relive my life, I would devote my entire ministry to reaching children for God. We must never neglect the children. Compel. What is that word, compel? To drive or urge with force to, or irresistibly to constrain or oblige to necessitate either by physical or moral force. Look at this video. Quick video presentation. A little water on his head. He didn't complain. See someone in need. Let me help, he says. Let me help you. Even the dog comes to him. Has a piece of his chicken. Okay, I'll get it. People are like, sees for education, it says. Gives his last amount of money. People shake their heads. He's even loving to his neighbor. Gives bananas. What does he get in return for doing this every day? She's waiting for him now. There you are, she says. The dog's waiting for him too. Two pieces of chicken this time. Comes back, still gives more, makes a sacrifice. You know the sad thing? I don't even know if this man is saved. Well, how is it that the people who are not saved sometimes can love a lot more than a Christian? How is that? He gets nothing in return. He won't be richer. He won't appear on TV. He's still anonymous. But look at, he's making friends. Not a bit more famous. Even the dog follows him. Mom. Because of his giving. He didn't even pray. He just gave. He was just helping. What he receives are emotions. What we receive are rewards in heaven. He witnesses happiness. Reaches a deeper understanding. Feels the love. Receives what money can't buy. A world made more beautiful. Here's extra. He even has a disciple. He doesn't even have a Bible. And in your life, what is it you that desire most? How do we reach the world? We give. But we need to do more than just giving. We need to have soul winning. Curtis Sutton said the only alternative to soul winning is disobedience to Christ. It is the greatest pleasure of living to win souls to Christ. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Let's not be too busy. I'll end with this. Imagine there's a bank that credits your account each morning with $86,400. How many of you would like that? It carries over no balance from day to day, and every evening the credit you failed to use during the day is deleted. What would you do? Draw out every cent, of course. Each of us has such a bank. Its name is time. Every morning God credits you with 86,400 seconds. If you fail to invest God's daily deposits for his purpose, the loss is ours. It carries over no balance and allows no overdraft. There is no going back and no drawing against the tomorrow. You must live in the present on today's deposits and make the most of today. The clock is running. How will you invest your remaining time and money? There's many ways: Bible reading, soul winning, church attendance, discipleship, choir, tithes and offering, faith promise, prayer, fasting, prayer warrior at the altar. Maybe you can't be a missionary to the foreign field, but you can get out of your chair and come and kneel at an old-fashioned altar for those of you who can walk. You don't have to go to a foreign field, but you can just come and, well, I didn't like the message. Doesn't matter if you like the message. The altar is the most unused place now in the churches today. We need to get that altar used once again. I'm almost finished. The average person lives 77 years. That's 28,000 days, 670,000 hours. 40 million minutes. 40 million minutes. The average person, now watch now, spends 40 minutes each day on the telephone. That's 20 hours per month, 10 days per year, 2 years in a lifetime. The average person spends 1 hour in the bathroom every day. That's 30 hours per month, 15 days per year. And 3 years on the toilet in a lifetime. The average person spends 26 minutes per day getting dressed, 13 hours per month, 7 days per year, 1 year in a lifetime. The average person watches 3 hours of television per day. That's 90 hours each month, 45 days per year, and a staggering 9 years watching TV in a lifetime. We're wasting our time. The average Christian spends less than 10 minutes each day with the God of the universe, our truest friend, the Savior of the world, the Creator of time. That's less than 6 hours per month, less than 3 days per year, and less than 7 months in a lifetime. You do the math. How much do you really spend? How much time do you really spend with God and doing the things that God would want you to do? The salvation of God, my last point. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. If you don't want to eat my food, God says, then I'll give it to those who want to eat it. In Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving, abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers, idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's the place that people go when they reject Jesus Christ and the food that He so lovingly gave. If you died today, if you're a visitor this afternoon, if you died today, where would you go? That's an honest question that needs an honest answer. If you died today, where would you go? There's no purgatory. Heaven or hell. And many people, they make their own excuses. Well, I have my own God. I'm doing a lot of good works. Well, I've been baptized. I do this and I do that. It's not about doing anything. Right. It's about trusting in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Repenting of your sin and asking Jesus Christ to come in your heart. Amen. If you make excuses, this is the one thing you don't want to make excuses about. When you die, you get hit by a car, your soul comes out of your body. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I took a picture. I got it off the internet. The most expensive coffin in all the world. It's very comfortable. You want to try it out? The fate of those that reject God's mercy and grace, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I love that duet that you sang earlier. That's exactly what we're talking about right here. I study that word cast. And the word cast has the meaning of like a man who has a sack of potatoes on his shoulder and he casts. Or like a man with a baseball, he winds up and casts. Or like a group of fishermen who hold on to a fisherman's net and they 1, 2, 3, cast. Now apply that to whosoever was not found written in the book of life. Was cast into a lake of fire. Every human that was put in hell for a mean time will be taken out and will stand before God one day. We who are saved will be robed in white, standing with Jesus. Aren't you happy you're saved? But at that time, we will regret, because many people who will stand before Jesus Christ when God says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. They'll cry. The Bible says that bind them hand and foot. If you were told that you're going to be cast into a lake of fire, wouldn't you try to escape? Bind them hand and foot. Please no, please no. Please don't throw me in that place. Please don't cast me there. Bind them hand and foot. Bind them hand and foot. Is it possible that as they're being bound hand and foot, about to be cast into a lake of fire, they look and they see you standing by Jesus Christ? Hey, I know that person. He's Christopher Hunter, missionary to the Philippines. Hey, Chris, we're friends. Tell Jesus that we're friends. Tell him it's all a big mistake and you've got to let me to heaven. What excuse can we give during that time? What can we say that will make that will change God's mind? Hell is for eternity. And as they're being pulled away, he will shout at the top of his lungs, how come you never told me about the love of Jesus Christ? Jesus might look at you and say, why didn't you tell him? You were friends, right? She started to scratch the back of her head. Lord, you know how busy I was. I didn't have time. You know, right? I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. I tell you, my brothers and sisters, in the closing, right now you know of a name, a face, someone that you know, someone that you love. Right now, God is putting them on your heart during the course of this message. You know them by name. You know them by face. You need to tell them this week. This week. Not next year. This week. I believe with all my heart, Jesus is coming soon. Amen. Sin separates, but Jesus is the only way. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't remain dead because he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And Jesus didn't make excuses. Jesus saith to him, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In conclusion, what are our excuses? Well, in the light of eternity, when we stand before God one day, all of our excuses are just well-planned lies. No more excuses. If you're a Christian, serve God more. If you're not a Christian, accept Jesus today.